some mother-in-law. Mother-in-law, what do you think? Apart from the Irish, I guess mothers-in-law have given rise to more jokes and more crude stereotypes than just about anybody. You know, the bossy lady, interfering, very loud-mouthed, cast iron opinions freely given, or else that lovely, lovely, soft, clinging lady who never lets go of her children and whose poor daughters-in-law and son-in-law, well, they've had it before they start because they can't ever do anything right. We see all this and you think, ooh, ooh. Now, many years ago, it had been 18 years ago when I first faced the prospect of being a mother-in-law, I thought, whatever is my role to be? I did have a mother-in-law. Very sadly, she died many years before I became a mother-in-law. And also, unfortunately, the relationship between my mother-in-law and my husband was rather dreadful. And so we couldn't really get much of a mother-in-law-daughter-in-law relationship. But we got along fine when we saw each other. My own lovely mother was never anyone's mother-in-law because I was an only child. So I thought, ooh, what will we do? Well, we're not going to do any of that above, you know, any of that stuff. So what will the role be? I did realise, even then in my ignorance, that it wasn't going to be a separate kind of thing, unrelated. It was going to be in conjunction with my role as wife and mother and daughter and cousin and all that stuff. But what was it to be? I had this rather nasty feeling that it might include being wads of stuff out of Proverbs 31, you know, that very intimidating lady. And I thought it very likely would include the bit where it says she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction on her tongue. Now, I wasn't at all sure that the future daughter-in-law would even want any of this, but I remember the caution with which I approached my first days as a prospective mother-in-law. My daughter-in-law was equally cautious and we had sessions of vague, stilted conversation about nothing in particular. There were absurdly formal visits for some time until it strangely occurred to us that we were both people and things improved enormously. Well, the first one to be married was not my eldest son, it was the second eldest son. And they were married. And they were married for a long, long time before they had any children. That's sort of leaping over a bit. And we saw them reasonably regularly and formed some sort of relationship, I guess. I was hampered at this stage because at home I was having horrendous problems with my husband and, you know, like we all do, we don't want the children to worry about this, you know. So that wasn't too good. I could see, though, my main concern was that they were dashing forward blithely, being terribly materialistic. Oh, yes, they're going to have children sometime later, perhaps. But they had to have the dishwasher and the in-ground pool and the ensuite, and so it went. And even though there was all this to do at home, that was a real serious concern. I don't know that they were terribly interested in the wisdom and faithful instruction, but of course I had the big artillery that not only a mother-in-law has, but we all have, and that of course is prayer. And I did not see a great deal of them for various reasons, but I could pray for them. And I'm glad to say, leaping over a long period of years, when they eventually had children, all this just, you know, they changed faces totally and became conscientious and loving parents, for which I thank the Lord. Now, I do have quite a number of children, and after a couple of years, my eldest daughter married. I've really got to stick this little story in, and if I go over time, tough, but I must tell you. Before I actually became a mother-in-law, There was one night when Clive had brought Anne home, and they were out the back somewhere, and I knew they were arguing because he heard voices. And of course I sang out, "It's time you were in, Anne, go home, Clive." And what I didn't know was they had this little altercation, and I live in a fibro cement house. Clive whacked the wall, fortunately not Anne, whacked the wall. I don't know what he did to his hand, but it made a little hole in the fibro. I didn't know this. Anyway, when I got up the next morning, fairly early, I went out, and I kid you not, there's a little neat panel of fibro bolted over the hole and painted the right colour. And I found out later that he was so petrified with what I might say or do. So he must have been there. He must have only just left by the time I was getting up. Anyway, we formed a good relationship, and they married. And so things were going fairly well. And then the next two sons married in fairly quick succession. And I was sort of starting to get the hang of it a bit by now. And also, I must say that things were a lot more relaxed at home because my husband had actually left. And I don't say this as a joke. It wasn't funny at the time, but it sort of was a blessing in the long run. And the next stage of our relationship, I suppose, when the babies and toddlers and things were coming along, and it was not only a joy and a responsibility to mind these delightful kids from time to time, and quite often, but of course it gives you a more in-depth relationship with the son-in-law and the daughters-in-law. And that was a gorgeous time, and it still continues to be a gorgeous time. Now, I do have two more daughters. One gorgeous one is up the back there. She is not at present married, or has been, and not been married, you know. She's single. And, but there is another one as well. Now, Rebecca has always been wayward and warm-hearted and temperamental and totally unpredictable. And she married without my knowledge. And that was, you know, that was not too good. She told me later that she thought I would disapprove. Of course, she was dead right. But I sort of only had a kind of fleeting sort of relationship with that son-in-law. They moved away. And sadly, that marriage did end. They had no children, so it could have been, let's put it this way, it could have been worse, couldn't it? She at present has a relationship with another man who is anxious to marry her, and well, my prayer is that they will have a good life together. The grandchildren are getting older now, so the relationship's changing a bit. You know how it is, they're all starting into the Saturday sport, and the parents are taking them off and collecting them and taking them, and you know, they also always seem to be going or coming somewhere. And so our Sunday afternoon get-togethers are starting to get a little thin, and it's generally the actual son or daughter that brings the kids out while the other one's catching up on something they didn't get done. And so it's marvellous I see more of the sons and daughters, but not so much of the in-laws. But that's another favour. I don't mean that's marvellous. And anyway, I won't pretend that all is always joy and light, because it's not. Many things they do I disagree with, but as I didn't want that to be above that above lady, you know, the boss, etc., one has to keep quiet. And it is frustrating at times. But then, of course, being a mother's frustrating, being a daughter's frustrating, being anything's frustrating. So, now why should we be surprised? I feel that sort of ultimately, in World War II there was this saying, and it said, they also serve who only stand and wait. And there's an awful lot of waiting about with in-law relationships. Well, same with children, isn't it? And I guess the bottom line is what we can do as Christian mother-in-laws is to keep in touch, even when things are a bit dicey. And there are a few little dicey things going on in the family at present. And this has sort of been caused by the fact that my husband sort of drifts in and out of their lives from time to time, and this can be a bit, you know, not too good. And, well, keep in touch, even when things are not so good, or possibly especially when things are not so good. Make sure they know you care, and of course, big stuff is the ongoing and continual prayer. And after all, without the continual and ongoing prayer, we can't do anything, can we?